Okay, so this is just wrapping up what we were talking about last week. We're discussing the question of Rabbi Elazar's view regarding refunding Avak Ribbis. We had dealt already with the issue of refunding Ribbis Kitsutsa, right, biblically defined Ribbis. We talked about Rabbi Yochanan's view about refunding and whether there's an element, even if Rabbi Yochanan doesn't believe that you have to restore Ribbis once they've been paid, maybe there's an obligation to do so, Latzeis Yidei Shamayim, to satisfy Hashem. And then we moved from that into a discussion about Rabbi Lezer's view regarding refunding of Avak Ribbis, even though there is no obligation to... Even though there is no obligation to refund Avak Ribbis in terms of a court isn't going to say you have to refund it. Nonetheless, maybe there is an element of Latzeis Yidei Shamayim to satisfy Hashem. And the Vilna Gaon we quoted last time says that the Rambam believes there is Latzeis Yidei Shamayim when you're dealing with Avak Ribbis because of the Rambam's position in Hilchos Malka V'Lova regarding Hilvahu V'Darva Chatzera, where you lend somebody money and then you live in his yard, that it's Avak Ribbis. That was the Rambam. The Nimuka Yosef we brought as well. We brought the Rashba and the Machlokas regarding the position of the Rashba, because the Rashba in Bava Kama says explicitly there is no Latzeis Yidei Shamayim for Avak Ribbis, and yet nonetheless he has a Tshuva which seems to indicate that he believes that there is. The last Rishon to discuss on this is just Ramban very briefly. The Ramban was actually in the Nimuka Yosef that we brought in Lamed Zayin, on the case of the person who lends somebody money and then lives in his yard. So Ramban is quoted there. Pirish HaRamban, Ba'odo Dar Sham. When we say Tzarech Lahalos Losachar, that if you're going to lend him and then live in his yard, you have to pay him rent, Ramban says that means when you're living there, you have to pay him rent. Avalim Kvar Dar Sham, but if it's too late, you already lived there, you already benefited from him, you got your Avak Ribbis from him, V'yatza, and you left. Not only will we not demand that you pay, we're not going to take the money from you, because you didn't take anything concrete from him, but there isn't even a need to satisfy God by doing so. That's Ramban. So if I read that carelessly, I will conclude that Ramban believes that by Avak Ribbis there is no issue of Latzeis Yidei Shamayim. Right? Because he says, when you live there, you don't have to pay. However, Yerub says, no.
No, it's a case.
Right. So that's what the Nesiva Shalom says. The Nesiva Shalom says, this is indeed a special case, because Ramban said, the reason why you don't have to pay him is because you didn't take anything from him.
Also maybe because the Mer says, because in the beginning, maybe if you do it in the same time, it's Merzak Yeribit, but if you already live there...
It's already lived there during the period of the loan.
Not before.
No. Achrei Shehilva. This is not a Ribbis Mukdemes case. This isn't that, no. But that's the Nesiva Shalom's point. And indeed, the Rosh in Hei Tezayin, as well as the Vilna Gaon, make the same diuk. However, the Nesiva Shalom says that, like with the Rashba, we have Girsa issues with Ramban. If you take a look at Source Lamed Tes, which I brought you from the Nesiva Shalom, he says, Omnam, Hama'ayin v'lashon chedushei Ramban daf samach de'alan amabeis hilvahu, Yerashiyesham Lashon Hatiuna Tikun. The truth is, you need to adjust what you have there in the text. V'nira d'chein tzarech lomar, it should say, Umi l'dati kol nosein avak ribbis eino chozer klal v'afilu balatzis yidei shamayim. He doesn't have the clause about Helvo v'darba chatero being unique. Simply says, it does not get refunded. Ulufiza chazer bo me haramban chozer bo miyad me advarim anal shebiru rishonu bishmo, etc. So he believes, Nesiva Shalom believes, that Ramban's position is that when you're dealing with Avak Ribbis, there is no issue of let's satisfy God. In the end, the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch do say that there is Latzeis Yidei Shamayim. It was in the Shulchan Aruch, we saw it before in Kuf Samach Aleph Beis, presumably because the Rambam does. Presumably that's quite possibly because the Rashba may, depending on which Rashba you look at. So we've dealt with Ribbis Kitsutza, both in terms of obligation to refund and Latzeis Yidei Shamayim. We've dealt with Avak Ribbis now as well, and said it's a machlokas we've shown him, but the idea in the end is there is a Latzeis Yidei Shamayim, but there's one rung down still, and that's the issue of Ribbis Meucheres. So first, what is Ribis Milcheres? We talked about it in my introductory shir, but take a look. I brought you the Gemara again in source Mem. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Yesh Ribis Mukdemes Yesh Ribis Milcheres. Ketzad, what's your case? Nasan Einav Lilvos Heimenu decides to borrow money from somebody. V'mishaleach Lo Omer Bishvil Shatal Beinid. He sends him a gift and he says, "Here's a present because I want to ask you for a loan later on." So Ribis Mukdemes. So that's Ribis before the loan. It's not Ribis Ketzutza. It's not a De'oraisa, but it is some level of a derabana. Lava Hemenu, let's say you borrowed from him the Hafzir Lama Esma Osav and then paid him back. Vumashalech Lava Omer Bishvil Maosecha Shayu Batelo Setzli, and then you send him a thank you gift. And you say, "I'm so happy that you let me hold your money. Here's this." And it wasn't part of the original terms of the loan, it wasn't anticipated at all. Zoe Ribis Milcheres, that's what we call Ribis Milcheres, and we say that that's allowed, according to Rabbi Gamliel, Mi de Rabbanan. And on that, the Rama writes in Kuf Samach Aleph Beis, I didn't bring it here again because we've seen it before, that there is no Latzei Sidei Shamayim for Ribis Milcheres, even though there is, he said, for Avak Ribis in general. Ribis Milcheres will not have a Latzei Sidei Shamayim. So why is it that Ribis Milcheres should be different? So the Vilna Gaon in Mem Aleph says, Milavad Ribis Milcheres, Daha B'matana Yahava, because it's given as a present. It's not ribis at all. It's, "I'm so happy that you helped me out, and I benefited from it." It's a gift. The Bris Yehuda, in Parakhes Ha'ara Kufyu, it explains, in general, when you're dealing with avak ribis, the borrower doesn't want to pay, right? He pays, because that's the deal. In general, in avak ribis. He pays because that's what he's supposed to do, but he doesn't want to. So therefore, there's an element of latzeis yidei shamayim to refund it to him. Because you took something from someone who didn't want to pay. In Ribis Milcheres, he had nothing forcing him to do it. It wasn't part of the agreement at all. He just decided that he's going to give the guy a gift. So that's clearly Mechila. That's why you wouldn't have even a Latzeis Yidei Shamayim. He was Mochel, it's a present. And a similar idea appears in the Gemara on Ein Gimel Amud Beis.
And
source
Mem Beis. Is the same as Milcheres with respect to...
Yes, correct. Also, same deal, no Latzeis Yidei Shamayim. If you take a look at Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, it's in source Mem Beis. Ravina Havayoev Zuzi Livnei Akra Deshan Vasa. Right? Ravina gave money to these people who live by the shore of a river to buy wine. Vishavchilei Tvei Kufisa. And they poured him a little bit extra. They gave him a little bit of extra wine in it. It wasn't part of the deal. They chose to. And the idea is, there's a great debate in the Rishonim about how to read this Gemara, but I'm taking it in the most simple way, which is that he was paying them for wine beforehand when they didn't yet have the wine. They had the grapes, perhaps. They then deliver the wine to him with a little bit of extra. So Asla Kamed Rav Ashi, Amar Le Mishari, comes to Rav Ashi and says, "Is this okay? Can I accept the wine?" Amar Le, and he says, "Yes, you can accept the extra." Achulehu de Kamach Li Gavach, they're forgiving it to you. Then there's the rest of the Gemara. I put it in brackets because it isn't germane for us necessarily. It all depends on how you read the bracketed word. There isn't time for that right now. The point is that they forgave the wine to you, and Rashi writes in that in Mem Gimel, Ho v'lo pasakta imahim, you didn't set terms that they have to give this to you. Midaitam nos nimlach, they're giving it to you willingly and knowingly. Be maskirin lomar bischar ma'usecha shayu b'telos eslenu, and they don't say it's because we had your money. Matana bi'almahi, so it's a present. That's the deal. There are, though, some concerns in the Rishonim. Because even if it wasn't part of the deal, and they're doing it willingly and so on, there's still an issue of appearances. Right? There's still an issue of merci caribis in accepting this payment. Even if you'll tell me that they're doing it willingly, the Rush writes in source Mem Gimel, no, not Mem Gimel, Mem Dalet, V'libi ma'aseis la'atir adavar. He says, "I have a hard time allowing this, for you to keep this wine they gave you." D'milishna d'masnisin mashma hadalo asa ribis mucheres ela b'da'amar le'bishvil ma'asecha shayu b'telos etzli. Hainu echad d'sholach lo achar shechzila ma'osav. The Rush says, the permission to keep it is specifically where first he gave you the money for the regular loan, he repaid the debt, and then later he gave you the extra gift. But if he's giving it to you at the time of the payment, it looks like ribis, even if he doesn't say a word, He hands you, you lend me $1,000. Here's your $1,000, and by the way, here's a gold ring. What do you think that is? Of course that's ribis. That's the objection of the Rush, at the very least, in terms of appearances. The same idea appears in Tosfos on that Gemara, in Ayin Gimel Lamed Beis. And take a look at Mem Hey. He says, "Shach leitfei ain't a ribis milcheres." He says, in this case, that's not ribis milcheres. Shalayu maskirin shenos that, which is why he allowed him to keep it. Shalayu maskirin shenos in b'shul ma'osav shu b'teila metzlam, because they didn't mention that they're doing it because of the money that he had prepaid. The lodami lehovav the darba chatzero shetzarech lahalos lo sachar. He says it's not like the case of the guy who lives in somebody else's yard having lent him money, where we say he must pay. Even though no one links explicitly the loan with living there, it's different over there because he still owes him the money. The debt still exists at the time that he lives there. So therefore, it's a problem. It's during the period of the loan. The Nesiva Shalom points out that you could read Tosfos and others to say that you're okay as long as the added payment is after the core payment, even if it's in the same sitting. In other words, you come to me and you say, here's your $1,000 back. You hand over the $1,000. Here's a gift. That's already going to be okay. That's a machlokas. Is that okay? Or does that have to actually be a separate sitting, separate occasion, so that you avoid all issue of appearances? Last note on that is the Nimuka Yosef's note, who says that the wine case may be uniquely lenient for a separate reason, and that is because it's a derech mekach u'memker case. It's not derech halva. I'm buying wine from you. It's not a loan in the usual sense of a loan, and that may be grounds for leniency. That's something I want to come back to when I give shiur in 2 weeks, and we talk about tzarechet berivis, the issue of distinguishing between a loan versus derech mekach u'memker. It's going to matter as well. Okay, that's just wrapping up the issue of hachzaras ribis and the ribis, why ribis milcheres should be different from the others, as well as a little bit on that Gemara and Gimel Amud Beis. The last bit, just because the Gemara mentions it and you can't go without discussing it at all, is the issue of karuei shtara, tearing up the document that has ribis in it. It starts with a tosefta in Bava Metzia, Perek Hey, it's in source Mem Zayin. Hamotzi shtar ribis, which would be Motzei, I suppose, unless you're in Beis Din. But if somebody finds, or somebody produces, a document with ribis recorded in it, meaning so-and-so owes me more, Yikra'ena, you should tear it up. Balifnei Beis Din, if such a document comes to Beis Din, Yikra'uhu, they should tear up the document. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, HaKol Kamina Gamadina. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, it depends on what the local practice is. What do you mean? You'll see why in a minute. But the basic principle is, you find a document that has ribis recorded in it, tear it up. The similar note appeared in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Samach Beis Amud Aleph, in which we said, Rabbi Nechemia and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov say, there are no malkos for the lender in a ribis case, or the guarantor, because you have a kum asay. And the Gemara asked, what's your kum asay? What is your get up and do that's going to correct the wrong? So the Gemara says, La mishum darminalu kumu hadoru, isn't it saying, pay back the ribis that you collected? And the Gemara answers, no. What's the asay? Lekro ashtara. The asay is to tear up the document in which the ribis is recorded. The Rama brings this as halacha in source memtes. Kol mi shefal yado yikra hashtar, d'cheshin hashem yikva bo ribis. You get a document like that, tear it up, lest they collect the ribis that's in it. So the big question you have to ask here is, what do you mean when you say tear up the document? Which document are you talking about? There are two potential documents. One is a document which is written in such a way that the owner, or the lender, I should say, would not be able to use it to claim the keren. Okay, in other words, a document which is no good anyway. If it's going to show up at a Beis Din and he's going to try to claim anything, they're going to look at him and say, you villain, take that away. You know, that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is to say, no, tear up all documents that have ribis. Even if the document is written in such a way that he could have claimed the keren. Right, the document says that Yaron lent Torchiner $1,000. Torchiner owes $1,000. Separate line, Torchiner also owes Yaron another $100. So if such a document showed up in a basin, the argument goes, the basin would say, pay him $1,000 and we're just not going to let you claim the other 100. Do you tear up a document like that? It's going to cost him 1,000 legitimate dollars that way.
So you're looking at punishment.
Is it a punishment? That's the question. What exactly is going on here? And the answer is, of course, it's a machlokas. The Hagosa, Shri in Sors Nun, says, he's commenting here on the rush on this. Ukagon sharibis mefurush. We're talking about when the ribis is explicit in the document. Delekala migzer shema yigbegam es haribis. And therefore, there is no gezera of maybe he's going to use it to collect the ribis. Avalim zakfo ribis im hakeren v'kasuv bo stam ploni chayev laploni kach v'kach ein gova afilu keren. I should have
stated this differently. That's what happens when you come in a week later. Let me restate. There's a separate concern regarding these documents that have keren and ribis in them. If you have a document like the one that I just outlined, in which it says I owe him $1,000 and I owe him $500 or $100, whatever it is, there's a concern that maybe he's going to actually bring it to the basin and they'll give him both. That's a separate consideration, which is a greater consideration if it's actually written in the document as 1,100. The document says, Yaron lent me 1,000 and I owe him 1,100. There's a possibility that maybe somebody's going to make a mistake because it's all lumped together. So what the Agos Ashri writes is he says regarding such a document, im zakfu ribis im hakeren, if the ribis is included with the keren in the document, so it just says ploni chayav laploni kach v'kach ein gova ilu keren. So the rule would be a Beis Din wouldn't use this document at all, wouldn't honor this document at all. It will be like shtar chov mukdamin, which is a separate discussion. It's entirely possible. The Ava Gav Shagova Boaz HaKaren, and even though theoretically he should be able to claim the Karen, Mikomakom Hamotzo Yikra'enu. Nonetheless, if you find this document, tear it up. Vinvala Basin Yikra'u, you bring it to Basin, they should tear it up. Afilu LeRabbanan, even within the view of the Rabbanan, who would say that with such a document you are able to claim it? Lefi Shabal Hashtar Over Vikiyumo. Because the owner of the document is violating the law by keeping this document, which lumps together the Karen and the Ribbis. So according to the position of the Goz Ashri, whether the Ribbis is explicitly mentioned or not doesn't make a difference, even if the document is one where the Rabbanim would allow you to claim the Karen, where they're written separately. Even still, he says, you tear up the document, and he's going to lose the ability to claim the Karen. That's too bad, because you're in violation by keeping this document that has the ribis in it. That's the position of the Goz Ashri.
Do I have a Bilval pen here or not?
Yeah, you do. That's all you got now.
Okay.
The Ritva says, in Sors Nun Aleph, that it's not true. He says, V'adisanya v'tasefta sh'tar sh'yish bo ribis sh'bala basin yigrohuhu Rabbi Meir hi. He says, the one who says that a document with ribis in it that comes to basin should be torn up, that's the view of Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir, he says, only documents with which you cannot claim Karen. And Rabbi Meir's view is you can't claim the Karen. That's why. Inami Rabbanan uksha ribis befurish bo. Or it's the Rabbanan where the ribis is explicit and therefore you're able to... Therefore they're disqualified, and therefore, right, Das Ramban, the Mashvilu Edim Psulim, and therefore the document is no good. In other words, the position of the Ritva is that you only tear up a document if it's useless anyway. You're not allowed to cost him the Karen by doing so. So the position of the Ashri is all documents get torn up, and the Ritva says only if it's not going to cost him anything. Why are we tearing it up? So if I take the view of the Ritva, the document is worthless and it shouldn't be used. Right? The document's no good anyway. And the Taz supports this idea. That it's a worthless document, there's an Avera in maintaining it, so just get rid of it. The Beis Yosef, though, I'm going to say it outside because we're almost 20 minutes in. But the Beis Yosef in Source Gimel has a different edition in the Ashri. His addition in the Ashri is Shu Oved Bikiumo Aleph Vav Bet Dalid. Not Over Bikiumo, but Aleph Vav Bet Dalid. And he says the concern is that the Beis Din is going to think Rabbi Meir is right, and therefore the malve is going to lose. If he shows up in Beis Din with this document, the Beis Din might make a mistake and think the Rabbi Meir is right, and therefore not even give him the keren. So he is the one who is losing. You're helping the malve by getting, this is the Beis Yosef's twist. He says, you're helping the malve by tearing up the document, because this way he'll come forward with eyewitnesses to the loan instead, and he'll get the keren. If he would have tried with the document, they would throw him out. That's one idea, or he has another idea that it's ribbis derabanan, and the court might make a mistake and actually collect the ribbis inappropriately. But that's the Beis Yosef. So you have the first view is the Taz. The Taz says there's an aver maintaining it. It's a worthless document anyway. Get rid of it. The position of the Beis Yosef is that the concern is that you're actually harming the malve by keeping it around. He's losing by having it, and therefore you should get rid of it. And then the Ramah says very simply, the Ramah's language is lest he successfully claim the ribbis, right? The Ramah we saw in Memtes. What are you bothering me with all these different thoughts about what could go wrong? The bottom line is that he might actually use it to break the law, therefore we don't want it. So those are three different explanations within this tearing up of the document. Understand that we still have this debate about which documents it is that you are tearing. Does it include the ones with the keren in it, with the keren being claimable, which is the Hagos Ashri's view, or is it the Ritva's view? Clear? Hopefully? Shkach.